When we try to picture immigrants, we often think about their hopes and dreams, what they're looking for here or Britain or wherever, a new start, a better life. But another big piece of the puzzle is what they send home.
Even if they go abroad to be cleaners or to work in old people's homes or to wash bodies in mortuaries and all the sorts of things we hear immigrants end up doing, even people with advanced degrees, the important thing is that they're earning foreign exchange.
That's author Adobe Trisha Nobani in Nigeria's capital, Abuja. She says that by sending money home, the immigrants transform the lives of the people they left behind.
They have families to feed. They have parents who look up to them. Mm. They know that their lives can be transformed if they can just make that journey.
We tend to think here in the West that this is a situation for impoverished Nigerians. But even for middle-class Nigerians, it's not unusual for them to spend a lot of time standing in lines at the U.S. or British consulates to get a visa. Tell us what that process is like. Describe standing in those lines.
So you had to get there sometimes as early as 4 a.m. to be able to get a space at the top of the queue, because it'll get to a certain point in the daytime and the officials of the embassy will say, or the High Commission will say, they're not seeing anyone else. So they'll be struggling at the gate, standing in the open air. It was so undignified. And then, of course, we had the security officers who, in order to maintain order, would lash out at us. And I remember how terrifying it was. I mean, I had this experience two separate times.
That's still the situation today?
Many embassies have contracted out the collection of visa application documents. So what happens, you have a separate office, separate from the embassy. So the embassies don't have to bother about what's happening at those offices. Those people collect the documents for them and then send them to the embassy.
And I suspect for the people standing in line waiting for that visa, like the people who cross overland through Libya and then over the Mediterranean to Europe and actually get there, getting that visa is probably the most life-changing slip of paper they can imagine.
It does change lives. I have a close friend who is celebrated in his field around the world. He told me his story. It used to be that people would apply up to 10 times with a different passport, a different name, a different set of documents just to get a visa. If they turned you down the first time, you'll go a few months later with a different passport. So this man had been trying to get a visa out of Nigeria. He'd studied, finished his education in a Nigerian university, did very well in class, but he just couldn't get a job. And then he saw a number of his classmates who had gone into scamming. And he thought, perhaps I should just do this. He was just that frustrated. This was an intelligent young man. And he approached the secretary to one of the big kingpins and he said, can you please introduce me to your boss so that I can be his apprentice and learn how to become a scammer? And the girl promised she was going to take him to meet her boss the next week. And just that same week, he got a visa. He'd been trying for a long time to get a visa and he finally got, you know, this time he was lucky, he got a visa. And that's how come he went to the United Kingdom. And from the United Kingdom, he wangled his way to the United States. And from there, he got a master's degree and, you know, just started his thing and became celebrated in his field.
Wow.
But this man could easily have ended up as a scammer. And today he has a completely different life story to tell.
So if these people go back to the embassies with new passports and new identities, what kind of stories are they telling these consular officers to try and kind of get that visa?
People learn the things that work. So they know exactly what sorts of stories the embassies want to hear.
The American embassy, what stories do the Nigerians think the American consular officers want to hear?
You could say anything. Oh, you're running away from female genital mutilation in your village, or that you're, and then of course the latest one is Boko Haram, that you're running away from Boko Haram, or you could say you're being persecuted because you're gay. I'm not saying these are not legitimate issues. These are very legitimate issues. But the thing is, they know what pulls the heartstrings of the West. They know what cuts compassion. So they come up with those stories, which is not to say that everybody who goes to the embassy is telling a lie. No, there are very valid reasons why people want to go abroad. Mm. Very valid. But I'm just saying that over time, some people have perfected the art of telling the kinds of stories they think people in the West would want to hear.
I'm curious, some of the people who get that visa, that slip of paper, they go abroad. Some of them do come back to Nigeria, yeah?
They usually come back when they've made sure that they can run back if something goes wrong. And usually they will come back when they've saved up enough money to start something tangible here. And then they come back, start something, they can employ people.
And when they're back in Nigeria, are they welcome?
They become celebrities. They're the salvation of their families. They've been sending money back to people who needed school fees, medical fees. So when they return, it's not just your brother returning. It's not just your uncle, but the person who has been the savior of the family for years. That person is coming back to the community. So they're definitely celebrated.
Adobe Trisha Nobani speaking with me from Abuja, the Nigerian capital. She's the author of the novel, I Do Not Come to You by Chance. Adobe, always good to speak with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Marco.